Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio. By the way, if you missed it, literally right as the show began, Ed Cooley announced that he is staying at Providence after yesterday there was some steam that was gaining for Michigan and Ed Cooley. And so I thought, oh boy, this is a, you know, this would be a big, big deal. I think Ed Cooley, I think the world of Ed Cooley, I think he's a great coach, a great dude. But that after talking to Michigan, he is getting a, he got a contract extension to stay with Providence, and he is staying with the Friars. Huge. I mean, I think it's one of those things, both for Creighton fans and Nebraska fans. Creighton fans are going, oh gosh, dang it, Ed Cooley staying in the conference because he's so tough to deal with. And Nebraska fans should be saying, yes, he's not coming. Because again, think about it. The one team outside of Nova, and it's been more because Nova's just, you know, arguably the best program in the country the last 4 or 5 years. The one team that I think has traditionally given Creighton the most issues has been Providence, because of they are perfectly built to bother how Creighton's style is. You know, they slow it down, they're physical, they're big, they run flex, they control tempo, all that. Well, what team is going to run an offensive system very similar to McDermott's? Fred Hoiberg in Nebraska. And so if Ed Cooley would have landed at Michigan, now all of a sudden Fred Hoiberg's having to deal with a coach that is pretty good at neutralizing that style, and that's a big kind of bullet dodged for Fred Hoiberg in Nebraska. Now, obviously, with what I do with Fox and being really intimately involved with the Big East, I think Ed Cooley's great for the conference. So from like a conference perspective, it's great that Ed Cooley was able to stay with Providence. But that's big. That is really, really big. What else is big was the fact the Warriors last night were just, I've never, like, wasn't there, there was a stat that somehow, and this is remarkable, the Blazers led the Warriors for more minutes in total in this series, yet they were swept. Think about that. How does that even make sense? The Blazers led the Warriors for more total minutes, but yet they were swept 4-0. And last night to me was a testament to the culture of the Golden State Warriors, where you're up 3-0, Iguodala's not playing, you don't have KD, you don't have Boogie, you don't have Iggy. There's a lot of people, especially when they got down 18 points or 17 points, whatever it was, would have just said, let's just, come on, let's throw in the towel here, let's go back to Oracle, game 5, we'll win, it'll be cool. But instead, they're just some stone-cold winners. They got a winning culture, winning mindset, and they're like, nah, we're ending this thing tonight. We're ending this thing tonight. And a huge part of a great culture is maximizing every little bit and piece out of your roster. You ever notice that with the New England Patriots, how they are able to maximize these guys to their fullest capabilities, where you see certain dudes flourish in New England, and they leave, and they're like, huh? Like, you watch, Chris Hogan's been like a serviceable wide receiver. Chris Hogan now, he left New England. You're not going to hear much about Chris Hogan anymore. Last night, Golden State won with Alphonso McKinney and Kevon Looney playing big minutes in a closeout game of the Western Conference Finals. Like, I think we got to start really talking. Like, for it's always just been about Steph and the style and stuff. We got to talk about the culture of the Warriors too. And a lot of that is Steve Kerr. But man, that was because really try to capture what you thought about Golden State in the series against the Clippers, and then even 4 games into the series with the Rockets. Remember, that series was 2-2. Remember, the Clippers won two games against the Warriors. The Warriors were 6-4. I remember just a couple of weeks ago asking Tolliver, who will join us tomorrow, hey, what's like almost like why are they what's wrong with the Warriors? Why are they underachieving? And since KD went down, they haven't been beat. Haven't been beat. 5-0. They look different. They play different. Pretty amazing. It really is. I just was, I was really impressed with the cult. That was a culture win to me. And usually when we talk about culture, it pertains to college, you know what I mean? But there's something to a culture in professional sports. The Spurs have a culture. The Spurs have a culture. The Spurs 100% have a culture. The Patriots have a culture. I mean, it's, and I think it's pretty clear the Warriors have a culture too. Pretty clear the Warriors have a culture too. And now they're going to get a bunch of rest, which is exactly what they need, because Iggy needs to get healthy and KD needs to get healthy and Boogie still might have a chance to get back into the equation. There is no doubt that the rest will be good. I got an email. Email here from Mark. Said, Nick, I've heard you hyping up Dedrick Mills a bunch. Wasn't the same thing said last year about Greg Bell? And the one thing I will say is, valid question. And to answer your question, yes, people hyped up Greg Bell. Remember Greg Bell, number one junior college rated running back coming in, all this stuff. Yeah, like people hyped up Greg Bell. Heck, I even bought into the hype a little bit. But to me, there always was this little bit of trepidation with totally gobbling up and buying into the Greg Bell hype based on two things for me. Number one, the fact that he hadn't done it at the Division I Power 5 level. And then number two, to be honest with you guys, when I got my first look at him in the spring game, I felt really underwhelmed. And I've always felt like running back is the one position that it doesn't take long to see it. I never fully bought into Bell when I saw him. Like, he seemed like okay, like kind of a jack of all, master of none. Wasn't really a home run hitter, burner fast kind of guy. Wasn't super shifty. Wasn't super tough. He was just kind of meh to me. And a part of that meh sentiment that I had was maybe a product of the fact that he was now on the field against way, 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 way better talent. Way better talent. And that's how it can be. When you're playing junior college, you may look like a burner or shifty, or heck, you might even look like, boy, he's a tough runner. But how are you when you get on the field against other big-time Power 5 conference athletes, right? And that has a way of revealing things. And that is precisely why I buy into Mills more. Why? Because the guy's done it at the Power 5 level. Georgia Tech, freshman year. Really, think about this. Dedrick Mills led Georgia Tech in rushing against the following teams in 2016. Fifth-ranked Clemson, 14th-ranked Miami, 21st-ranked North Carolina, and a Boston College team that went to a bowl game. I mean, guys, that is real, tangible production against real teams, which helps me feel way more comfortable and confident in saying, yep, I think Mills is going to be able to walk in and be immediately productive. With Greg Bell, there was always this little bit of unknown of like, okay, yeah, he did it against JUCO. He did it. With Mills, at least a good chunk of that unknown is eliminated. There are no guarantees. I can't sit here and guarantee you that Mills is going to be great. I mean, but I think there's more tangible proof of Mills being great than Bell was. There was with Bell last year. Same thing with Noah, the Cal grad transfer wide receiver. I feel confident saying that, like, listen, based on a track record, he's going to come in and be productive at Nebraska. He's done it at the Power 5 level. I mean, in some ways, there's the analogy or akin to, you know, I believed in Noah more than I did Jerron Woodyard, for instance, in very similar situations to the Bell Mills thing. Woodyard was a speedy, JUCO, productive wide receiver. But with Noah, you get the confidence that he's done it against Pac-12 real defenses, real players, real teams. Think about this with Noah. In 2017, the season he had his most catches and most yards, Noah was Cal's leading wide receiver against the following teams: Ole Miss, fifth-ranked USC, Oregon, eighth-ranked Washington State, and UCLA. These are real teams with real corners, with a real safety, with a real, like, these are real, real players. Had over 100 yards receiving against fifth-ranked USC, 95 yards against Washington State, had over 100 against Oregon. Not, you know, not doing it against, you know, Fruity Pebbles A&M here. Doing it against USC. So to me, that is real, tangible production that is easy to see translating at Nebraska. So that's why, you know, I think the whole situation is different in terms of hype with some of those guys coming in from junior college last year. Mills has done it at the Power 5 level against ACC defenses. Clemson, perhaps you've heard of him. Noah's done it against Power 5 level Pac-12 defenses. USC, perhaps you've heard of them. So, yes, like, are we talking about a little, like, there's certainly a cautionary tale of, oh, we've seen these hyped guys before. And they, well, I mean, I also think you're not dealing with guys that are coming in that are Division I transfers that have had a track record of getting it done at a high level. That's the reality of the situation. That's what I'm saying. We had some technical difficulties in the middle of that segment. Once again, we lost power. And so now we're trying to boot it back up, so we cannot officially go to break right now. Got an email here from Ken. It says, slow down on the hype train with this kid. Yes, he ran for 750 yards, but in a 12-game season, it's only about 60 yards a game. Couple that with the fact that Georgia Tech runs a very run-oriented offense. I'm just like, meh, let's see. Well, again, as a freshman, I'm not ready to say, I mean, he was within shouting distance of getting to 1,000 yards as a freshman. Like, I'm not... You're within shouting distance of a 1,000-yard rushing season. I'm not ready to, as a freshman in the ACC. Listen, you can rationalize, yeah, they run it. I mean, that's, I don't care. That's impressive. That is impressive. Again, I don't think he's going to be Amir Abdullah or anything like that. I don't like, what I'm saying is he's important relative to the situation. That's right. I'm certainly not suggesting that Dedrick Mills, and maybe I should, I'm not suggesting that Dedrick Mills is going to be able to, like, walk in and, you know, be Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley. Like, no, he's not going to be that. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to be probably, right now he appears like, I would think he's the best running back on the roster, not named Maurice Washington. And if you haven't noticed, Maurice Washington, who knows what's going to happen with him? Who knows? So, naturally, it's important. Naturally, this is a massively important player that we're talking about becoming eligible. So, I think some of the hype is it's more hype relative to the need. Does that make sense? Like, it's not like hype based on, like, this guy's I don't think this guy's like a best running back in the Big Ten kind of a player or anything like that. But I think he could be the best running back on Nebraska's roster. And you need it, man. You need it. You need it. 402-951-1620. All right. Are we taking AK? Is that what we're doing right now? So we're not going to go to break? Like, can we go to break? What's happening here? As we're having like power outages here.
I don't trust it. Let's take AK.
You want to take AK?
Yeah, we could take AK.
Let's take AK. Can you fire it? Do we have it readily accessible? I really want to hear it because you get to hear Family Matters. Where is it at? As we're looking for it live on the air.
All of these computers are.
good. I don't see it. I don't think it's there.
No, it's not. We're good.
Let's bring him in. AK, you got to save us, man. We're having power. Are you having power outages at KTV right now? I don't know what's happening here. We've had like all the lights off, turn off.
Are you guys like at the hotel of The Shining or what?
Pretty much. Pretty much. Let me tell you, isn't it amazing how like
over there?
I don't know if I were alone and it was the middle of the night, I'd be freaked out. But because it's 1:30 in the afternoon and a bunch of I'm not scared. But like if it was the middle of the night, I'd think like definitely a ghost is haunting me right now and I'm gonna die. Pretty much, it's pretty much how it goes. I don't know what's happening.
We'll
here.
Power through. Yeah, no, I was having lunch. I'm on the Omaha Sports Committee. We were selecting the Scholar Athletes of the Year. So we have a big lunch in a couple weeks.
Nice.
So, yeah. So no power outages over by,
I like it.
What is this, 90th and Pacific around that area?
Okay, that's good. Well, 50th and Dodge, let me tell you, it's irregular. It's just, it might as well be medieval times around here. No electricity.
Armageddon.
Okay?
It's Armageddon. I have to drive by there on the way to work.
Be careful.
Back to work.
Be careful. Okay. You know, if you get it to 88 miles an hour, you might, and you got some, the flex capacitor. If you get an electrical surge, you might go back to 1950. All right, it might happen
luckily
for you.
I do not have the DeLorean.
There, okay, good. That's good. All right,
that's,
so if,
that's good news.
Yeah, I've always wondered what kind of car does Andy drive. Maybe it's a DeLorean.
Big
no, it is not.
Almost 100,000 used, 100,000 miles.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, a lot of miles lately. I actually was down in. I've already worked a little bit today, Nick. An early start for yours truly. This is a Big Ten Media Baseball Coaches News Conference.
Right. What are expectations now for, you know, like, I mean, Fred Hoiberg, Darren Erstad, they finished the season strong. They're going to be at home now. You'd imagine a pretty good, a pretty good crowd will show up here in Omaha. What do you expect from Darren Erstad's Huskers here for the Big Ten Tournament?
Well, it's going to be an interesting deal. They've got a lot of different like little storylines that play into it because they're playing a Minnesota team who's playing decent baseball. They've been there before. They won it last year. They battle tested, you know, because of the tiebreakers. Nebraska's the 5 seed, and they play that 4-5 game, which is the last game of the day tomorrow. That's a 9 o'clock start, and they, you know, how often do they start on time? You know, flip a coin, especially with the weather being in flux. You know, who knows what kind of weather. And tomorrow looks okay, per se. But, oh, boy, Thursday looks not good. Friday and Saturday look spotty, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how this tournament gets played, getting all the games in. And then on top of everything, Nebraska needs to win X amount of games to get in the tournament. Are they in the tournament? How many games do they need to win? I asked Darren Erstad about it this morning, and he said he doesn't get into it, as you could imagine. He doesn't like playing the hypotheticals in terms of how many games they need to win, because if you look too far ahead, you forget about what's in front of you.
Yeah, that's fair. By the way, the crazy weather is probably that's great news for you and TV, right? Of just knowing that'd be great for you.
Nick, there's nothing like putting together a show and then looking up, seeing Randy with the sleeves up, and then like, do I have sports tonight? I guess I don't have sports tonight. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. We'll be here. Okay. We'll do it on Facebook Live, everybody.
There you go. But join us on Facebook, and we'll tell you that Nebraska is still in a weather delay. Thank you very much. That's pretty much what is going to happen. Roby, I think, turned some heads last week and really showed himself well. I mean, I think it's not too – I mean, Robin Washington said it's about 90-10, that 90% sure that he's not coming back. Where are you at with it when you connect all these different dots? I'm sure you have, you hear the rumblings that he's for sure not coming back. Like, what say you about Roby and his status?
Well, I think we've talked about it, that once he got in front of the NBA brass that he would shine. He's one of those guys that coaches and GMs and higher-ups would look at each other like, where has this guy been? Like, where have we been? And not, you know, like this guy is, look at this kid. He plays, he's got a big body and he's athletic and he's all over the court. Of course, he's that was one of the no-brainers from you know, us being in Nebraska, saying this guy's going to shine at the combine. So it doesn't surprise me at all to see his stock being raised. And now when you look at mock drafts, he's all over the board, but at least he's getting drafted.
He's there.
He's on almost every mock draft you see Isaiah Roby's name. And then you see, you know, one of the, you know, new dozen Huskers, the Dirty Dozen or whatever, how many guys they got, and one of the guys is wearing Roby's number.
Right. Whoops.
Like, how many layers does that get past to have him put on the jersey? Like, oh, okay. Like, I guess he's not coming back. And
right.
they signed one more scholarship than they would have if Roby did come back. So I think if you read between all these lines, it's like, this is pretty obvious.
I agree. I agree.
Good for him.
Absolutely. Be exciting to see what happens for him. Andy Kendi's my guest. Dedrick Mills, he got his he studied hard. He got the necessary grades, and he's going to be arriving on campus this week. I've been talking a lot about. I'm not saying Mills is going to be this like Amir Abdullah level player, but it's relative to the need of the roster, and with the unknown status of Maurice Washington, and what we know about the other running backs. I don't think the news of him being deemed eligible and being able to play for Nebraska next year can be understated. Like, that's really big news for Nebraska.
I'm waiting for the pride of Nebraska's marching band to get there to trumpet his arrival. My God, if this guy was a defensive back, would we be yapping like this?
Ah!
No way.
Offense is more fun, Andy.
I know, but you know what I mean? I think you bring up a great point. If it's in this dire position of need on the offensive side of the football, and don't get me wrong, this guy, you look at his tape, he's terrific. He's gonna contribute if he lives up to his tape. But oh my goodness, this guy, the hype around this guy has been, man, oh man, it's been unbelievable this offseason. But I think it plays into the bigger picture that this is a position of need. Nebraska needs this kid. They need this running back situation to kind of settle out. What it's going to look like in August is so different than what it looks like now with all these question marks. So yeah, I the news that he has made grades and is on his way, you know, through the wilderness of the Kansas cornfields to come up north to play football for Nebraska. I think it's tremendous news. And but again, it's one of those. Hold your breath until you see him on campus, right?
Right. Yeah. To a certain extent, but I also think like the fact that he was able to do it at Georgia Tech like makes me feel a little bit. It's like Noah, the Cal grad transfer wide receiver. It's like, mm-hmm. at least he's done it against like real teams. Like I'm totally with you. And there is no guarantee of like anybody being great, but I think there's something to having already done it at a high level before.
Well, look at Greg Bell.
Yeah.
Right. Here's an example. He goes to JUCO. He lights the world on fire. Comes to Nebraska and is like, eh. Right?
Right.
Well, at least you got some tape about this guy when he was playing against big time.
Right, Clemson camp, right? And stuff. You know,
absolutely.
Like it's like, okay, that's real.
And I'll tell you, you bring up that Noah kid, you want to get excited. Look at that kid.
I'm pumped. That kid's sneaky huge, man.
Yeah,
huge.
And I tell you, he's got a little Stanley Morgan Jr. in him.
Yes.
When I was watching, I was like, ooh, okay, I see this. What a great fit for that kid. And this is where that transfer thing, grad thing, really worked out in the favor of the Huskers. So, yeah, I do think that the benefit of having some big boy football under your belt before you arrive in Lincoln will only help because,
right,
you know, you feel for some of these kids who just played high school football and then, maybe not so much in like a Texas kid or whatever because they played in front of huge crowds, but, you know, there's a difference. You know, you're going to run out of Memorial Stadium. There's going to be 87,000 people on their feet and screaming and a whole bit, knowing your name. That's a different level of football.
Totally different level. Andy Kendi, KTV Sports Director. Well, AK, we've made it through this interview. The power didn't go out, which is great. We have like 70,000 commercials to make up because the power went out for a little bit here. So we're going to try to stay on the air, and you have yourself a great rest of the day. All right, bud.
Thanks. I'm happy to do my part, and if you need me, if you're dying, just call me back.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Andy Kendi.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. AK, KETV. Check him, Matt, Thor, the gang out, 6 and 10, doing their thing. All right. So, yes, we've had a bunch of power outage issues. We'll take a break. Hopefully get everything squared away. Game time.